1 of the preseason's in the books, and now we get to react and overreact to all the fun and fantastic stats and performances and all those great things that we saw, starting with Friday night's action, Thursday night's action, leading into Sunday's game. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is Dave Richard and Heath Cummings, and we are all thankful that Adam Azer is not here
Woo-hoo!
To slow us down. So you get the three of us today. Hopefully it won't be too much of a train wreck. And if you're paying attention, as Adam always likes to say, it's Monday, August 17th. It is the morning of our podcast draft where Dave is threatening not to show up.
Oh, it's not a threat.
And Heath is threatening to dominate the league as always. So, boys and girls, did you guys enjoy the first weekend of preseason performance?
Here's how I feel about the preseason. I can't wait for it to get here, and I can't wait for it to go away.
Good,
because it's great to have football back. And it's good to see the starters for a little bit. Next week we'll see them a little bit more. But, man, it's by the time the third week of the preseason comes around and you know it's just not the same as regular season, you can't wait for it to just go.
I feel like especially if you've already drafted some teams like we have that you're going to play out, there is more anxiety about preseason football than anything else. You're just hoping that one of the guys you took early doesn't get hurt. And I don't have any joy in watching guys that are already on my team play in the preseason. I just want them to go stay on the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Email the day number one comes to us from Jason in Albany. And he says, "Dear Scooter, Ralph, Kermit, and Statler," which he designates us as me as Scooter, Dave is Ralph, Adam is Kermit, and Heath is Statler.
Okay.
And he wants to know, what do you watch for during the preseason? So, Heath, you say you don't want to see your guys get hurt that you've already drafted.
Well, of course.
Dave, is there anything like you're specifically looking for?
I like to see just individual performance from offensive players. Defenses, you're not going to get a lot from. I'm always looking to see how running back rotations are.
Right, position battles.
Who's the starting running back? Who's backing him up? What receivers are on the field in certain down and distance situations? I think the coaches know that this is the time to either get players that they want to see on the field with the starters or the players that are going to be out there with their starters. It depends on the situation and whether or not the team is new coaching staff, young quarterback, things like that also come into the
two things that I like to see. I like to see rookies and how they adjust to the speed of the NFL. Even if this isn't quite full speed, mm-hmm. it's still a lot faster than what they saw in college. And the second thing is, and we saw a lot of it this week, we're going to talk a lot about it, is backup running backs.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. the backup running backs are the guys that you're taking after round 8, round 9. And those guys a lot of times end up being league winners. And so I like to see which of the backup running backs look like the guys that could really take off if they get the opportunity.
Two guys who entered the season last year as backups that were tremendous fantasy running backs, obviously Justin Forsett and C.J. Anderson. Nobody expected them to do what they did, and they were somewhat buried on the depth chart when the season opened. Jason says his Muppet logic is Scooter is smart and practical.
So that's you.
Ralph is witty and quick with a joke.
Yes, Dave.
That's
Kermit
me.
Kermit manages the show but has trouble controlling the talent.
I thought it was for my piano.
Adam,
piano
for sure.
Skills.
And Statler is the resident curmudgeon.
Am I really a curmudgeon? Am I like this overly negative guy?
I don't find you to be a
curmudgeon. No, I think you're pleasant and fun. But you're a curmudgeon when it comes to the Muppets.
Well, that's a fact because they're terrible.
It's not terrible. It's charming.
Terrible. Okay, so we're going to go over some winners and losers from the preseason. We all have three separate winners and three separate losers from week one's action. But there's obviously more than just that caught your eye. So, Heath, I don't know how much preseason week one you watched, if you watched every game, every play. Dave watched every play. He's already watched it on the All-22 and looked at it all over again.
Haven't seen it on the All-22.
But how much have you actually
I did not
digested?
Watch as much as Dave. Mm-hmm. I probably watched more than the average person and less than Dave, which most people watched less than Dave.
Yeah. And I don't blame them. I'm just sick.
So aside from your winners and losers, is there just something that jumped out at you? Maybe a player, maybe a situation?
Well, I'll leave the obvious Amir Abdullah for somebody else because they're going to talk about it. Both the rookie quarterbacks.
I feel like he's my child.
He is kind of your child, and I would like to babysit occasionally.
You're more than welcome.
Okay. Weird.
Okay. The rookie quarterbacks, not very good at all.
I'll disagree with you on one.
Marcus, Mariota recovered. He bounced back after the terrible start.
The terrible start might not entirely be his fault.
It's
the
possible.
Interception, it looked like Sankey. He was throwing a screen pass to Sankey, and Sankey looked tentative. The pass looked kind of bad. I'll give you that. We can put that on Mariota.
Sankey looked tentative. I think that should
Sankey
just be like
Sankey looked like Stanky.
Sankey is tentative.
Yeah, he looked terrible.
He doesn't.
If he doesn't change, then I think he's going to hit the bench.
I think Mariota's performance is so indicative of what we've gotten from start of training camp through the first game of the preseason, because he hasn't thrown an interception throughout any practices in training camp, and then three passes into his first
live NFL action
on a screen pass, no less.
Yeah.
He throws an interception. And I think it goes to show you, which I think everybody should take into account with preseason, from the Amir Abdullah great performance to the Jameis Winston terrible performance and Melvin Gordon's terrible performance. Don't overreact to a quarter or maybe a little bit more than a quarter of action, because it's not a fair way to judge these guys. So as great as Amir Abdullah may look,
mm-hmm.
he is not going to be now a top 10 overall pick. And as poorly as Mariota and Winston, you know, may or may not have performed, certainly the poor performances, don't just write those guys off completely. I think that's a great way to start it and a great guy to look at. Dave, any observations?
I noticed a lot of offensive lines playing poorly. Tennessee's is one of them, and I think that's to blame for the fumble. I think that's partially to blame for Sankey's running troubles. They didn't help him out, and you already have seen reports about them doing some shuffling. San Diego's offensive line didn't impress me, and it's not to say that that's why Melvin Gordon stunk, but Melvin Gordon also is, you know, tentative and was slow to react and hesitated and played like a rookie. And I think any problem that you see in the preseason can be corrected by the end of the preseason, and that includes Jameis coming out. And I mean, he looked like he did at Florida State, where passes are just like randomly way off, and then all of a sudden
he gets into a groove. Great second half.
Yeah, it's really true with him. So it's going to be a roller coaster ride. But yeah, we'll talk about a bunch of other players.
All right, I took some notes on some guys. I want to spend more time on our winners and losers, because I think that's more important, because a lot of this stuff, like I said, it's going to be blown out of proportion one way or the other. But I just took some notes on some of the positive guys. We talked about Mariota. We talked about Winston. Some running backs, and I kind of eliminated the obvious guys because everybody's drafting Julio Jones. You know, maybe he bumped
He's
up.
He's a running back?
No. I'm just saying, like, the
Listen, I would draft him as a running back if I could.
The guys who play, who you know you're drafting. But the guys who may have the chance to increase their value based on some preseason performances. So Jonas Gray, 7 for 74, touchdown. Had the big touchdown run. Did that make you more excited, or was it just him taking advantage of an opportunity?
Remember when Michael Turner had that 60-yard touchdown catch during the season? And mm-hmm. it was like the slowest 60-yard touchdown catch in the history of professional football?
I think he's still running, yes.
That's what Gray's touchdown run reminded me of. So I thought he ran with power. I thought he looked okay. The offensive line that the New England Patriots trotted out for that game wasn't full of their starters.
Right. And Blunt didn't play.
And Blunt obviously didn't play.
Right.
And Blunt apparently has been looking great and is starting to catch passes now. Yep. Looks like he might end up having a really good opportunity.
Let's just get this out there, because I think I saw from Jonas Gray. It's the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Over under 2.5 weeks that Jonas Gray is a running back one this year.
I think you have to take the under.
I'll take the under on one running back one, but I'll take the over on him being the best running back in New England for 2.5 weeks. I think he can get a 3 or 4 week stretch in there with Blunt missing, you know, certainly missing week one. That's going to help.
Right.
And to your point about him catching passes, James White also played very well in that game. 8 carries for 12 yards.
He looks like he's going to be the Shane Vereen.
I'm not touching that spot until I see
it. I don't blame
it,
you.
Because I think Brandon Bolden is still going to be a factor. You mentioned Blunt catching passes. He's going to be a factor. I don't think there is a Shane Vereen type guy yet to emerge. I could be wrong. Amir Abdullah Eisenberg had 7 carries for 67 yards against the
that
Jets.
That might be the nickname. We were talking about what his nickname could be on the radio show on Saturday.
Heath, you said you wanted to babysit my child. So
Yes.
He did not look tentative comparatively to Melvin Gordon. Is he ready to go?
He certainly looks ready to go. I mean, he's doing things in his very first preseason game that I don't think Drake Bell can do.
Right.
Just he can't do it.
Right. The 4 yards a carry. That's the first thing.
And I like Joyke Bell.
I do too. I
was presented with this interesting situation where I was on the clock in one of my drafts, like right after that happened.
In a keeper league. Right.
And Abdullah was there and CJ Spiller, which we all know what I think about him.
Yeah, we're going to get to the injuries in a second. So
I took Abdullah at the end of the third round in a keeper league, which there was two people kept, so it was like the fifth. I think he's going to skyrocket up the board. He's probably – that might be the last draft that I get him in, because now he's probably going to jump even higher in average draft position.
Well, especially if, let's just say, Gordon continues to struggle, if T.J. Yeldon can't get on the field because of his hand injury. Mm-hmm. The guys that you're looking at in that grouping, you know, Joik Bell still stays out. You know, you're going to see Abdullah's value.
Can I be the rain on the parade?
Absolutely. Yes.
Can I be the wet blanket on the bed?
Sure.
I noticed that his last four carries were all for 3 yards or fewer. So does that mean that he's a little bit more boomer busty and he might have some games with 13 carries for 45 yards? Or does it mean that, you know, it's just he was working. I don't think he was working with all starters at that point. So maybe that played a role.
Sure.
I'm not sure what it is.
Jets have a good run.
They didn't look so good. Riddick was even getting some good runs against them. I'm still concerned that there's going to be a second running back in the mix. And it could be Joik as soon as he gets there. And so anybody that's taking Abdullah with the idea that he's going to get 1,300 total yards and 8 touchdowns, I think it's a mistake.
Yep.
I think if you're looking at 800 is low. I was going to say 800 to 1,000 yards, but I'd say closer to 1,000 yards with 5 touchdowns. I think that's good. He's in that top 50 pick range.
Here's the thing to keep in mind, and forget about what you saw against the Jets. Forget about him being the only guy there, because Dave said there's going to be another guy, and I think we all realize that. If you combine Reggie Bush, who was banged up most of last year, and Theo Riddick, in standard leagues, they were a top 24 running back combined behind Joik Bell. So he can get easily into a starting caliber range by himself if he just takes those touches, which I think he's going to. I don't want to spend too much time on all these guys. Ronnie Hillman had 8 carries for 66 yards. He's going to push Monte Ball for the number 2 role.
And C.J. Anderson got banged up in the game.
Yeah, well,
now everybody's freaking out about him.
Right. It was minor. We can gloss over that with the injury stuff. I think Anderson's going to be fine. Alfred Blue, 9 carries for 59 yards. Make you feel better about
the situation? Impressed by him, and he had more than one really nice run. He had a couple runs that were good. And again, to be the rain on the parade, the Texans had 7 goal-to-go plays from inside the 5. 6 of them were from inside the 2. They couldn't score on the Niners. To me, that speaks to what the offensive linemen were doing. They couldn't get a push. Blue was stonewalled on 2 of the attempts. He was only in there on 3 of the attempts. If you want to know what the rotation is at running back for Houston, here it is. Blue is their running downs guy.
He did have a
third down snap early on in the game. Grimes is their third down guy, just like you said. And Hilliard, the rookie, started to get in there a little bit,
The one thing, though, the caveat to that is Chris Polk's been dealing with a hamstring problem.
Right, so when he comes back, that could throw the whole thing into a tizzy.
Heath, if you draft Melvin Gordon, are you handcuffing him to Brandon Oliver,
who
looked really good in the second half of that game?
I'm not. I don't. And Brandon Oliver is exactly the type of player that I'm not going to get excited about preseason performance, because that's exactly the type of guy that's going to do something big in the preseason. And then we know what he is. I mean, this is not somebody that we haven't seen in live NFL action. And I mean, if I happen to get him because he's available at the end of the draft, then that's fine. But I'm not going to make an effort to handcuff him, because I think there's a pretty good chance if Melvin Gordon's not good, then this Chargers offense is bad.
Fair point.
And I'm not sure I want a mediocre running back in a bad offense.
Fair point. Kyrie Robinson took advantage of C.J. Spiller not playing, because he's out until week one, hopefully till week one. He's out for the rest of the preseason. But Kyrie Robinson had 2 carries for 35 yards, 3 catches for 37 yards, and a touchdown. Is he now on your radar, Dave?
He's absolutely on the radar. Late round pick.
Philip Dorsett, I'm sure Dave was excited to see this.
Oh, yeah.
4 catches for 51 yards. Now, everybody in front of him did not play.
That's not true. Andre Johnson played.
Okay, I'm sorry.
T.Y. Hilton did not play.
And his reward
for getting a monster contract was not playing.
Right. And Dante Moncrief has a hamstring problem, which is only going to make Dorsett that much better. Heath, I know Dave's drafting Dorsett if he has an opportunity with a
late-round
pick.
He's my first-round pick.
Are you taking Philip Dorsett?
Okay, maybe not quite first.
No, he's after Duke Johnson, right?
Oh, yeah, he's after
Okay,
Duke.
So
he's after Duke
in the first, Dorsett in the second.
Wait a minute. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin and Martavis
Bryant. Dave has a very easy theme to follow. Frank Gore, good. Andre Johnson, good. Duke Johnson, good. Philip Dorsett, good. He loves himself some Hurricanes.
Okay, they're good football players. What can I say?
Are you drafting Philip Dorsett at all?
Not in a standard league, I don't think.
Right.
But in a deeper league, especially in a league that starts 3 wide receivers, that's deeper, absolutely.
Some receivers I think that we're all excited about, and we've heard some differing reports about this training camp, whether they've been working with the starters, whether they've been healthy. Nelson Agholor, 3 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. That came with some backups in there, clearly with Sam Bradford not playing. Martavis Bryant was the apple of Ben Roethlisberger's eye, and he had 3 catches for 55 yards and a touchdown.
And you know that's my guy.
Yep.
He started, but the Steelers started in the 3-receiver set. Their next 2 plays, 2
Which
receiver sets,
the
Bryant.
Time.
They should be, and they will be a lot. It doesn't bother me that he doesn't play in two receiver sets, because how often do they throw out of a two receiver set? It might be 50-50 with the run, but in a three receiver set, I guarantee it's at least 60-40 that they're passing. Not only did he have that long touchdown that everybody saw, he was 6 inches out of bounds on another deep ball from Landry Jones. So clearly, you know how the Steelers are going to use him. He might end up being a little more inconsistent than we had hoped for at this point, but the bottom line is that he's going to be a big part of that offense.
Cordarrelle Patterson, 3 catches, 35 yards, and a touchdown. Worked a little bit with the
backups.
First team.
No, that was all.
No, he was on the field, though, with the first team, wasn't he?
I don't remember him being on the field with the starters. I know that the touchdown came
with
Sean Hill.
I thought I saw him on there with Teddy at one point. I could be mistaken.
Maybe.
Golden Tate, 2 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. We know Heath last year, he struggled when Calvin Johnson was healthy. Struggled in terms of where he finished.
Right. I mean, he's not going to be as good as he was last year if Calvin Johnson stays.
But encouraging because Calvin was playing.
Yes, absolutely.
He was? I don't think he was.
He wasn't on the field with him?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm blind then, apparently.
Maybe I'm the one who's blind. We can double check and see.
It's okay. Jarvis Landry with a goal line touchdown. 2 catches, 11 yards, and a touchdown. We talked about this a lot, that can he be a guy that's going to get his yards per catch average, get his yardage up, get his touchdowns up. You'd like to see that from Ryan Tannehill?
It kind of makes sense, if you think about it, because he gets about, 5 or 6 yards per reception anyway. So if they're inside the 5, he should be the perfect receiver.
Cecil Shorts, any reason to like what you see from him?
No, not at
all.
Not
this was his longest play from scrimmage since September of 2013, and it came in the preseason.
Two tight ends that I think people will want to look for, whether it's post-draft hype that's now got a big wet blanket on it, and Josh Hill had 3 catches for 40 yards, and Tyler Eifert, who's everybody's favorite sleeper at this point, 2 catches for 30 yards. Anything change your mind about either of these two guys?
Nah, Eifert is still going to be one of those guys. I was more impressed by Kyle Rudolph than I was Josh Hill. More impressed by Crockett Gilmore. That's a big dude in an offense that's thin at receiver.
They need tight ends. I mean, you look at the history of clearly Joe Flacco in his career, and you look at
Tressman with tight ends. Yep. When he's not coaching in Canada, he certainly used them a bunch.
But Max Williams is going to throw a wrench into that, though.
Maybe, but not yet. And I think Crockett Gilmore could keep him at bay. So late round flyer in the deepest of leagues for Gilmore. Eifert, however, is a late-round pick in every league.
He's going to be more than a late-round pick.
You think he's going to go higher?
Yeah, I mean, he's just a guy that's getting a lot of hype. And I think
Then I'd rather take Rudolph.
Fair enough.
If I've got to pick between those two, I'm going to take the guy I can get later. To me, they're about the same guy.
Yeah, I'm probably going to take Eifert because I still think I'm going to be able to get him in a late round, and I think his upside's so much higher. I mean, you can probably get Rudolph later, but I don't know. I'm having a hard time.
These are two of my guys from previous years.
Yes.
And different situations.
I think maybe my Rudolph issue is he's been my guy before.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm hurt.
As was he.
I think you got to see. Yeah. And same thing with Eifert. So I think you just got to throw away the past and focus on the now. And both these guys are going to play a lot. They're with quarterbacks who are capable of getting them the ball. I think Eifert's going to be a big time security for Dalton.
If Eifert's skyrocketing, where's Andy Dalton at in the QB ranks now?
He's not moving up that much because of Eifert. He needs another receiver to step up for him to make a move higher.
I don't want to draft Andy Dalton, but he will finish as a potentially top 15 fantasy player.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the exact same way.
All right, let's move on to injuries. We'll start with the guys that were either hurt on the field or were hurt going into the weekend. The biggest name, Dave alluded to this earlier, in my opinion, C.J. Anderson, because he's a potentially top 5 overall pick, certainly a top 10 overall pick. Tweaked his ankle, probably would have stayed in that game. He was also dealing with the flu, which allowed for Monte Ball to get a little bit more early action and then Ronnie Hillman to get the performance that he had later, where those two guys may have been splitting some of that later work. Any concern over C.J. Anderson if you're picking in the first round?
Nope.
No. Okay. That's another offensive line that looked bad. They've got some work to do.
It was against Seattle in Seattle.
That's one thing that could be a real concern. That offensive line might be bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They need to get those guys a lot of reps. And Peyton didn't play, and I almost think that was by design, because usually you see Peyton Manning play at least a series.
They talked about that they're going to rest him more going into the season. And
It all sounds like it's going backward for Peyton at this point.
It's the John Elway effect. Elway at the end of his career. Kevin White is the worst injury, I think, that we're going to discuss.
And it had nothing to do with the preseason game.
He has yet to step on the field, and he may not step on the field this year. If you're reading some of the quotes out of Chicago, he has a stress fracture in his shin, most likely going to start the season on the PUP list, which means he's going to be out for the first 6 weeks. And then they say if he's not ready to come back, they're not going to put him back out there, so could miss the whole season. Any reason to draft Kevin White at this point?
No.
No.
Email of the day number two. Dear Mitch, Hobby, and CJ, with the injuries to Alshon Jeffrey, who's also dealing with a calf injury. Now, he is out of the walking boot that he was in, so that's a good sign. And White not being there have led to some sleeper talk of Eddie Royal. And given his Broncos history with Jay Cutler, is Royal the slot receiver or is he the outside guy? And why no mention of Marcus Wilson, who would likely start opposite Alshon as the outside wide receiver? I could be wrong, but it just feels like no one is mentioning him despite Wilson's positive camp reports. And that comes to us from John from Dave's Choice of South American Capitals.
Oh, boy, I get to pick one. It's exciting. I'll go with Brasilia.
There you go.
Okay, so.
Start with Eddie Royal.
I was going to start with Marcus Wilson.
Start with Marcus Wilson.
Start with Marcus Wilson. I own some Marcus Wilson in some very deep dynasty leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very upset with the draft of Kevin White because I thought that Wilson was going to be irrelevant. I think this is probably true that Eddie Royal is a sleeper in PPR leagues. I don't like Eddie Royal in fantasy. He irritated me last year, and I'm probably not going to draft him.
Mm-hmm. But, see, this is past performance influencing.
But well, no, I don't like drafting players like Eddie Royal because I don't think Eddie Royal is actually really good.
Does he really have a shot at 1,000 yards?
No, but right. We're talking about
the touchdowns
a PPR
he might get and the catches he's going to get.
We're talking about a PPR wide receiver 3
at best,
and he's probably if. I'd say it now, I would expect he's probably going to be a borderline wide receiver 3 in PPR.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. There are other wide receiver 3s that Absolutely. Are borderline that I would much rather draft than him because I don't believe in his talent.
Wow. I believe in his talent as a slot receiver. I think he's a very serviceable slot guy.
I mean, look, the last
And if
time,
he's got opportunity, the numbers can come.
Last time with Cutler, it was 90 catches, almost 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Last year, last couple of years, he was good. As Heath sort of alluded to, annoying us because he was taking production away from a lot of players in San Diego a couple times, multiple touchdown type of games.
Right.
So I think just based on need, he's going to finish with good numbers. 1,000 yards, probably not. Could he get in the 800 to 900 range? I wouldn't be surprised because Chicago's defense is bad. Cutler knows him. He's the type of shifty guy that can get open and create space. And he can also do that near the goal line.
He's actually been a borderline wide receiver 3 in standard leagues the last 2 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the injuries. Heath is very happy about this one.
I'm never, ever happy about an injury.
CJ Spiller, arthroscopic knee surgery, expected to be ready for week one, but this was your fear, at least one of your fears, that CJ Spiller would not
play 16 games. I think when we did, what video was that?
We did a sales pitch where we were doing fake starts and sits for week one, and Drew Brees was a sit, and he said, he's not going to have C.J. Spiller, who's already out with an injury. And it was coming off of the podcast where Heath and Adam were arguing about C.J. Spiller. And you proved potentially prophetic.
The thing is, and I told Dave this, I feel like, this doesn't sound like this is really that serious of a deal. And he should be ready for week one. His average draft position is going to plummet.
Which is great.
Because this is a guy that gets hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. He's hurt again. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to think, I just don't want any part of that. So if it falls far enough, C.J. Spiller could actually end up on a sleeper list or on an underdrafted list, and he may end up on some of my rosters tonight.
Where does that number fall for you? It's not going to happen in a 14-team PPR league. I can tell you that much. But in a 12-team league, where does it fall for you that you're saying I'm taking him?
PPR or standard?
Start with both.
Okay. Let's say standard, it's going to have to be very late. He's going to have to fall probably to the 7th round.
Okay, for you, where are you drafting him, Dave?
Probably right around there.
So you're not taking him in round 6 at this point?
In a standard league?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I really don't. And think about it. When's the last time a guy had arthroscopic knee surgery in the preseason, missed the preseason, and then came back to play well? There are examples. There's somebody who's done it. But I don't think it happens all the time.
I mean, the good thing is he's not a featured back. You know, so he doesn't have to take that type of pounding. But
that's what some of the people that were the highest on C.J. Spiller, and this goes back into the Kyrie Robinson that I wanted to talk about, and people talked about C.J. Spiller as if, well, Mark Ingram's going to get hurt, maybe. And if Mark Ingram does get hurt, there's a good chance that Spiller gets to take over his touches.
No, that
no
was never.
There's people saying that. There's certainly people saying that.
There were reports out of New Orleans from the time Spiller signed until the start of training camp that he was going to have the most touches. Now, that factored in his receiving, but they also thought he was going to get enough carries taking away from Ingram. Now, I don't think there was a lot of people saying if Ingram goes down, Spiller steps into that role completely, but he was definitely going to get a boost.
Right. I think Robinson is a guy that's talented enough in different ways, and there's a good chance that either Ingram or Spiller is going to miss several games. I mean, that's if you look at their career history, one of the two of them is going to get hurt.
And Robinson.
I think Robinson can fill either one of those roles.
I wonder if they wait until post week one to also kick the tires again on Pierre Thomas, just because a guy who knows their system and has played multiple roles for them. But yeah, you should definitely.
I think if you see them sign him, then that tells you where Spiller's at with his recovery.
Well, that's if it's after week one, because we'll know Spiller's going to be back by week
one. Yeah, sure. Might happen before week one.
Right. Well, then that's a definite.
But teams don't really want to sign him before week one, because then they have to guarantee his salary the whole year.
Right. Julius Thomas suffered a fractured bone in his hand, also going to miss the entire preseason. Changing your opinion on him at all?
No, not really. I'm reluctant to draft him, but I figure he might be the best of what's left at tight end at this point. Because after you get past those first five guys of Gronk, Graham, Kelce, Olsen, and Martellus Bennett, is there
you still
a discernible?
Feel like he's next?
I feel like he's next.
Why him more so than Jordan Cameron?
Because I think. I mean, I know that Jordan Cameron's got concussion issues and there's an injury track record with both of these guys, but I feel like there's just more upside with Thomas. I think there's a chance Thomas could be the number 1A or number 2 receiver in Jacksonville.
But does that excite you?
Not especially, but I know there's no chance Jordan Cameron is going to be the number 2 receiver in Miami.
Thomas is another guy that...
I think there's too many other receivers there between Landry
and
Devontae Parker eventually coming back, and Greg Jennings is there. Tannehill likes Jennings.
He also likes his tight end. If you look at his,
he does look at, he does, but I
Jordan Cameron's a lot better.
It comes
than Charles
down to
Clay,
touchdowns,
right?
For these guys.
Much better.
Jordan Cameron's a much better player than Charles Clay.
I'll give you that.
And Clay was pretty involved in the offense last year.
How many touchdowns did he score?
6.
Okay.
That was a guess.
I think Jordan can get
you
6 or 7.
You got to go 2 years ago with Charles Clay. I'll take Cameron.
Thomas is somebody that I thought was being overdrafted before he got hurt. Right now, it looks like his average draft position is 76th, so 7th round.
No way.
No, that's even too high for me.
And Cameron is going a full round and a half later.
Yeah, please.
Sure. So, if I had to pick between those two, I'll take the later pick in Cameron. But if they're both there later on in the draft, I'll take Thomas.
We talked about this last week. Zach Ertz has the groin problem. You buying Zach Ertz still?
I'm not really. We talked about this on Friday, and I was questioning whether Zach Ertz should still be drafted.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that too.
I think he probably should be at the very end of the draft, because I'd rather have him than one of these guys that's going in the last rounds, because there's at least the upside. You can always drop him if he's not okay.
Absolutely. Now Davis had a little bit of a knee scare. He's already back at practice, so that's a good thing. I know Heath is still going to be able to wear his Nile Davis jersey around the office, so we're excited about that.
I spent time watching Charkandrick West, who would be the backup to Nile Davis.
Right.
He looked okay. They're loaded at running back in Kansas City.
The Falcons got good news on Monday, because both Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman were back at practice now.
Game on.
Saturday's Ion Fantasy Football, Ion Fantasy Radio Show on CBS Sports Radio Network. We had Pete Prisco on, and Pete was at the Falcons-Titans preseason game, spent some time with the Falcons, and he said everything he's hearing, it's Devontae Freeman's going to get the first crack at starting because he's better in pass protection. So.
Yep.
If you're looking to buy into those guys, I would try and get both if you can. It's not a bad situation to try and handcuff those two guys.
Is that a round 7-8 swing pick type of deal to get both those
guys?
If
it falls that far, I would even consider it round 6, just depending on how your running backs are shaking out.
I'm looking at their average draft position here. Are they lasting that late?
Coleman's still going to be higher because of his pre- and post-draft NFL draft situation. But the Falcons did sign Evan Royster because Anton Smith is also dealing with a hamstring problem. Couple offensive line notes. Vikings right tackle Phil Loadholt has an Achilles injury. He's out for the season. And Bucks right tackle DeMar Dotson has an MCL sprain. Could miss 6 weeks. How much does this impact the running games, respectively, for Minnesota and Tampa Bay?
I think the Loadholt injury is going to be a much bigger deal, because they're going to replace him with a rookie named TJ Cummings. And throughout the draft process,
you're in great shape.
Well, sure. And is he your brother? Is he your cousin? I don't want to say anything bad about him.
No, go right ahead.
He was this hot shot draft prospect, like when the Senior Bowl opened, and by the time the draft came, he fell to the 4th round. I didn't like him. I didn't see that much of him, but I know that I didn't think that he warranted a 1st round pick, and that could mean some growing pains for that offensive line in Minnesota. But when you've got a running back like Adrian Peterson, he can overcome things like that. He might not be able to do it every time he gets the ball, but it's not like you know, an average running back, like an Alfred Blue. Like, Blue's a good running back.
He needs an offensive line.
He needs a little help. And Adrian Peterson doesn't necessarily need that. So I don't think it's that bad.
You've been high on Doug Martin, Heath.
I'm still high on Doug Martin.
Worry about this at all because of...
You know, Doug Martin's never really had a consistent good offensive line.
He's had staff infections. He's had MRSA.
He's had almost everything that could go wrong.
Toe problems for his offensive lineman. Yep.
So I'm not overly worried about it, no. I mean, it's just... He's such a cheap value right now. Mm-hmm. If you had to take him where I think he's going to finish, which is a borderline running back too, then I might be a little more concerned about it. But right. You don't have to take him near that high.
Understood. A couple minor injuries we don't have to talk about. Jason Morrow's got a shoulder injury. He's week to week. Chris Matthews also shoulder injury. He's expected to be out 2 weeks. Some positive injury news. Alshon Jeffrey, like we said, off of crutches. Duke Johnson back at practice on Saturday, getting over his hamstring problems.
Let's Dave get back in there, Duke.
Excited about that. Darren McFadden and
Darren McFadden.
Streeter.
Are you really? We're going to poo-poo CJ Spiller, but you're going to cheer for Darren McFadden?
Yeah, I'm cheering for Darren McFadden. I'm pulling for him.
You are weird.
Those guys are off the pup list, so Rod Streeter being the second guy. Hopefully those guys are able to do something to maybe show us some potential
Streeter's going to be behind Crabtree.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crabtree is a thing.
That was always
he's a late-round PPR thing.
Good luck with that.
I'm telling you.
Ruben Randall's got a knee problem. He's not practicing. That's something to keep an eye on. And Brashad Perryman, this is a guy I think we got to start to really get nervous about because he's got a strained tendon in his knee, hasn't been able to practice. At what point has he become undraftable or at least falling to only a late-round flyer?
He's like in that – he's now in the Devontae Parker, you got to draft him late and hope that – you know, you can be patient with him type of deal.
Yeah, I don't think that's – I can't imagine he's probably going to end up on any of my teams.
Do you increase the value for Steve Smith now?
Yeah, you do.
What about Kamar Aiken? Are you starting to look at him?
No. Okay. No. Is it – since I'm down on Justin Forsett, I kind of have to wonder if maybe I'm thinking the Ravens are not going to be very good this year offensively.
Could be.
I mean, who are their weapons?
It could be a real problem.
Yeah.
We all talk about Mark Trestman. Well, he's got to have players to help his system, and that's not going to be good. The Chargers have their quarterback for the foreseeable future. The Los Angeles Chargers, that would be. Philip Rivers signs a 4-year, $83.25 million extension. So we'll see what happens and where he's playing in the future. All right, let's get to our preseason winners and losers, and then we'll wrap this up with our IDP mock review. Dave, your preseason three winners. My child, Amir Abdullah. Your child.
I stole your child.
Martavis Bryant. We talked about those two guys already. But Sam Bradford's a winner for you without even stepping on the field.
Without even getting on the field.
Why?
Because if Mark Sanchez and Matt Barkley and Tim Tebow can lead that Eagles offense on scoring drives, I know Sam Bradford can do it too. And I came away very impressed. And I've been a big Nelson Agholor fan all along. I liked him a lot. And I came away impressed with him. I came away impressed with Jordan Matthews. He was making catches on poorly thrown Mark Sanchez passes. Zach Ertz didn't play, but the first play of the game, there was a tight end streaking down the field, and a bad Sanchez pass caused that from being potentially a touchdown. There are a lot of weapons. There's Darren Sproles lining up in the slot. There's a lot of exciting things for the quarterback in Philadelphia to handle.
They've been as a group very good the last two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take it away from Chip Kelly, and so Sam Bradford has entered that conversation of someone that you've got to start looking at, honestly, with a double digit round pick. Yeah. And I saw a draft where he was a fifth round pick. I think that's
too early.
Pretty ridiculous to take him ahead of, like, you know, Romo
then
and
again,
Brady and those guys.
If he plays 16 games, he finishes where?
At least the top 10.
At least top 10.
We'll say top 10.
That's fifth round.
QB7.
That's fifth round.
Now, he hasn't done it.
Off early.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be many, and this is why you can take him late. There won't be many games where he goes out there and DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews do all the work.
Three losers for you. We talked about a couple of these, Bishop Sankey, Jameis Winston, but Kobe Fleener, why is he a loser?
He had a big, dumb drop in a game where Philip Dorsett was getting established in a rhythm with Andrew Luck. And his biggest competition for playing time is whoever that third receiver is going to be for Indianapolis. And if Fleener isn't doing a good job and playing inconsistently, the Colts do have a choice. And they can put him on the bench or use him for only 20 snaps a game. And they can move to Philip Dorsett. And based on this game, I think they will.
Your three winners, Heath, are Kyrie Robinson, who we talked about, Devin Funchess, and Ronnie Hillman. Start with Funchess. What do you like about the way he performed?
Well, I just like that they got him involved early. He turned targets into receptions and production. And I think that's what people are concerned about, is that you know, I think there's two trains of thought here, that the Carolina kind of got lucky last year with Kelvin Benjamin,
mm-hmm.
and that taking that type of player that struggles with the hands is not a good way to go. But they love him. They love Kelvin Benjamin, so they went and got a second one.
Right.
And
he really is Kelvin Benjamin-like.
Yes.
He's not as big.
Right.
But he can leap and make plays. These are the types of receivers they need, because Cam Newton doesn't have
catch
Andrew
radius,
Luck type of
accuracy.
Two words
you will hear with Cam all the
time. They catch love radius. Catch radius, and right. they've got catch radius.
Right. You drafting him late?
Yes.
Ronnie Hillman, are you drafting him late if you draft C.J. Anderson?
Yes. I thought Ronnie Hillman looked really, really good. I think when Ronnie Hillman's healthy, he's better than Monte Ball.
I think so, too.
Yep. We'll see how that goes if C.J. Anderson goes down and both guys remain healthy. I think you'll see a tandem situation. Your three losers, RG3, Zach Ertz, and people who already drafted C.J. Spiller. I think we know how you feel about that.
Is RG3 the loser, or are his receivers the loser?
Well, do you look at it as no DeSean Jackson in a game or Pierre Garçon? I was thinking about this. How different is the tone of the whole Redskins' first preseason game if Pierre Garçon catches that pass from RG3? It was a beautifully thrown pass.
I disagree. I don't think it was
hands.
A beautiful pass.
Oh, come on. It hits him right in the hands.
No, he had to adjust to that ball.
No, come on, Dave. You're nitpicking.
It was thrown to This is the NFL. You can ask any quarterback that plays in the NFL that they've got to make that throw to the right spot.
He did make that throw.
It wasn't the right spot. Now, it just so happened that Garçon adjusted and his body was in a position to do it, but still he had to turn around and catch it. It's a bad on both of them. Maybe more so on Garçon than RG3. But if he throws that to the right shoulder, it's a touchdown.
Well, here's
Garçon's ADP is flying up the draft boards if he makes that catch, and RG3's back in the conversation for whatever reason. Is somebody you can look at.
Right. The thing is, RG3, again, didn't look as good as Cousins did.
Yep.
And I think he's better than Cousins. I really, really do. But at some point, he needs to look better than Cousins.
He was off on short passes,
He lost too. His tight end.
Yeah, he's not good.
For the year. He lost his best tight end. DeSean Jackson's... should not supposed to be a big deal, but he's still losing reps with DeSean Jackson. I'm just really getting worried that they're going to need like a monster effort from Alf, or they're going to be terrible on offense.
Are you
again.
Starting to get the feeling that a black hole could develop under them? Like the whole Washington offense is on the
Come
field,
on,
and all of a sudden the ground destroys underneath them, and they all fall into this fantasy black
hole. I wish everybody could have seen Dave. It was like only like a 2 second.
I like
pause.
Yeah, there was like
you
a
were
pause.
Like, but your mouth was moving, and nothing's coming.
So,
out.
are you thinking black hole?
Yeah.
Or are you thinking like
a fantasy black hole?
A fantasy black hole
where there isn't anybody good, like in Oakland last
like
year.
Like a train wreck.
Yes. Like two trains colliding at fast speed on a
yes,
on
a loud trail. Bang, and nothing good. Yes, I think I'm
Me
getting
on a
worried
treadmill,
about that.
Like that.
I'm getting worried
Any
about
Any Redskins
it.
You're drafting?
I've still been drafting Alf.
Yep. And Jackson. And, you're a DeSean Jackson guy.
And I'm still kind of a DeSean Jackson guy because now his average draft position is falling even more.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I still am, but I'm getting worried about it.
My three winners are Andre Ellington, Golden Tate, and Nelson Agholor. We talked about Agholor a little bit. Tate, I think just the fact that he's able to produce we'll find out if Calvin actually was on the field or not. I'm going to guess based on Dave's assumption he probably was not. But Andre Ellington, I think we all saw the big catch and run. He was healthy, and he got the goal line work, which I think is something to keep an eye on. On top of the fact that I don't care about Chris Johnson, but the fact that David Johnson can't stay healthy
mm-hmm.
is only going to help Ellington's cause. My three losers, Mike Evans. I'm just nervous that Jameis Winston is not going to
there
get
will definitely be some moments where Winston costs Evans some stats.
Yep.
At least
or gets him killed.
Going. Or get some kill.
That would
it's
be
possible.
Awful. That would be awful.
Melvin Gordon, as we all saw, was a little skittish just running the ball. He'll get better. And then two guys who, at least for me, I don't know about you guys, I was looking at them as handcuffs to some potentially tenuous running back situations. Javorius Allen in Baltimore, Jeremy Langford in Chicago. Both guys were running as the third running backs. Allen behind Lorenzo Talaferro, and Langford behind the great Jacquizz Rodgers.
Right.
So those two rookies need to step up their performances if they want to be considered handcuff guys.
Yes. And I wonder, in those circumstances, I mean, this is the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are still some old school coaches out there that a guy like...
It's all of them.
Okay. A lot of old school coaches that come in, and Allen was going to be the third running back in the first game
no matter what.
Because he's the rookie.
Yep.
I mean, Theo Riddick started in Detroit.
Yes.
The only rookie running back that started was Gordon in San Diego.
And
first round pick.
Fantastic.
Right.
All right, let's get to our IDP mock draft review. It was 28 rounds. This is for the diehard fantasy fans who like to play with defensive players. That's individual defensive players. 28 rounds, five guys from our site, 7 other analysts from other sites. We talked about this on our video a little bit. I kind of want to just do the same type of thing. Dave, what's your strategy when you're playing in an IDP league?
If my strategy for this year, I changed it up because I used to be one of those guys that waited and waited and waited to get an IDP.
Is this all IDP? Because ours is hardcore. You start.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this because this really varies.
2 defensive linemen, 3 linebackers, 3 defensive backs, and a flex defensive player. So a lot of leagues sometimes just do one of each position.
Some do just one player, period.
Defensive player. So in our league, just talk about your approach when it's, you know, full roster of a defense.
Even when it's deep like this, I know that I can always go to the waiver wire and find a defensive player who pops out of the woodwork and becomes helpful for my fantasy team. So I don't want to invest valuable picks on defensive players when I can just load up on offensive players, which are much harder to find. Think about it, because every team's got at least 3 defensive linemen starting. Every team's got at least 3 linebackers starting. Every team's got at least 4, if not 5, defensive backs starting. You can find players. It also depends on league scoring and whether tackles count really is what it comes down to. Here's ultimately how I feel about it. If I can't get one of the surefire IDP studs, I'm waiting.
J.J. Watt. Luke
J.J.
Keefe,
Watt would be
Levante
one of them.
David.
Yep. Yep. DeAndre Levy, I consider
DeAndre
to be
Levy,
one of those
Navarro
studs.
Navarro Bowman when he's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would consider him a stud anymore.
We'll find out. Heath, what's your approach when you're drafting IDP?
My approach is to go for tackles. I think people, especially, and maybe not in this type of situation because these were all experts that were drafting, but I think in a lot of IDP drafts, people want to go for sacks. People want to go for interceptions out of their defensive backs.
Right.
And sure, those guys have some really, really big weeks. But I think what wins on a consistent basis is tackles. Mm-hmm. And so I like to go for the guys that are going to get 8-10 tackles a game, and that'll carry your team.
Right. And typically those guys will be around the ball, and that could lead to fumble recoveries or,
yes.
Interceptions, certainly. I like to go offensive guys first. I'll try and find guys that I think are going to outproduce their average draft position. So I typically will draft my offensive players first in the majority of situations and then start taking defensive guys. I was one of the last owners, along with Heath, to take a defensive guy. So the first guy that was off the board, J.J. Watt in round 2. Dave, you don't like this. Heath, you're kind of on this.
I don't like this so much in this scoring system.
Yep.
What scoring system is it okay in?
This scoring system, you get 3 points for a sack. In a lot of scoring systems, you get 4.
Mm-hmm.
That probably just gives you an extra 20 points for J.J. Watt. In a lot of IDP leagues, you get points for like punt returns, kick returns, and offensive plays for defensive players.
Mm-hmm. Right, this one.
You don't in this one. Mm-hmm. If you do with J.J. Watt, I expect J.J. Watt, I'd put the over-under on 3.5 touchdowns for him this year,
mm-hmm.
offensively.
Okay. Sure.
So that's an extra 18 to 20 points.
You should work in a sports book. That's a good one.
So I think it you really have to know your scoring system. I think J.J. Watt could be worth a first-round pick in certain – there's IOP scoring, which tries to make every position worth exactly the same.
Right, sure.
And that gives like 7 points for a sack for a defensive lineman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that type of league, J.J. Watt's the number 1 overall pick.
Yeah. Right.
I did an IDP draft where he was the first overall pick. I don't know what the scoring was because it's best ball, and I really didn't pay attention to what the format was.
Right.
But I knew I was taking J.J. Watt first overall, but I have no problem with him in the second round here. I just think he's Rob Gronkowski, you know, and we have to start the same amount of guys. He dominates that position. And so if you like Gronk, and because you like Gronk, he's the best tight end by leaps and bounds. J.J. Watt's the best defensive lineman.
I can still win my league without J.J. Watt on
my
fantasy
team.
You can
still win your
team. There's no chance I'm taking
without Gronkowski. You win your league number of ways.
Yeah.
But he's a difference maker, and I think it pays the draft difference makers. Next IDP guys in this draft didn't come off the board until round 6. It was Dave taking Kuechly in that spot after Levante David went off the board, Navarro Bowman. Now, defensive linemen are so valuable because there's so few pass rushing defensive ends.
They're like tight ends.
Because of the 3-4 takes away some of those guys. Why take linebackers who also are somewhat bunched together, even though those two guys, at least in my opinion, they're head and shoulders above the rest, David and Kuechly. Why not take Chandler Jones or Robert Quinn instead of those linebackers?
Because I think I can find a defensive lineman later on, and I think if I can get the best linebacker in fantasy, I can put him in my lineup, and I don't have to think twice about him for 16 weeks.
I agree with Dave.
Plus, there's a great track record of tackles, which is what you look for.
Yes, I agree with Dave as long as you're talking about Luke Kuechly or Levante David.
I don't agree with
taking the rest of those linebackers ahead of the elite defensive linemen because I don't really think you can find good production at defensive line late in the draft. And I picked a lot of linebackers. Derek Johnson went really late. Derek Johnson's going to have 100 tackles this year. It's not hard to find guys that are going to have 100 tackles at linebacker, and that's going to get you 8 to 10 points a week.
Mm-hmm. You were the first person to take a defensive back, I believe was the first defensive player you took, right?
And that's not a strategy that I normally shoot for, but he was the only elite fantasy defensive player left, and that was Harrison Smith.
Yep. I did it in that one where I was referencing where J.J. Watt went first overall. He was the first defensive. He was the first defensive player I took, but I did pull the trigger first on a defensive back, and it was several rounds before those guys go. Now, again, you start three of these guys. Why do people wait to take defensive backs?
Because you can get guys like Jason McCourty and Denora Searcy really, really late in drafts, and those guys playing for the Titans are going to get a ton of tackles because nobody makes tackles in front of them. And I think that you can, like linebacker.
Dare you talk about the Titans defense.
Like linebacker, it's not that difficult to find safeties that get tackles.
I want to read all of our teams, so give me a defensive sleeper that you like this year.
A defensive sleeper.
IDP sleeper, excuse me.
IDP sleeper. This guy is not really a sleeper, but I'm going to use him anyways because I think he's being overlooked, and that's Greg Hardy. Because you're going to miss four games, and then he's probably going to be a top five defensive lineman the rest of the year.
It's very true. You, Dave?
Are we looking strictly at defensive linemen or just...
No, no. IDP player. IDP sleeper.
Well, I drafted a few. I drafted Shamarco Thomas with the Steelers, and he's basically going to end up replacing Troy Polamalu. I don't know how that's going to go. It could be a total nightmare, but it's a late-round pick. Why not?
Sure.
Benardrick McKinney of Houston. He's running second string at inside linebacker for the Texans.
I loved him when they drafted him.
Yeah, me too. And you know Brian Cushing's track record of staying healthy, so... Right. By week five, this guy could be in there eating up tackles against for a Houston defense that could be on the field a lot given the state of their offense.
One of my favorites, I drafted him, was Stephon Anthony. I think he's going to
that was a good pick. That was a really good
for
pick.
The Saints, and we know their defense and what that track record has been. So he's a guy that I was targeting in almost every IDP draft. All right, let's read our teams real quick. You want to read your own, or do you want me to read them for you?
I've got to find my team.
Okay.
I'll read my team.
You read yours, Dave. You find yours. If you can't find it, I'll read mine next.
Okay. I've got Russell Wilson at quarterback with Andy Dalton as my backup quarterback. My running backs are Jamal Charles, Jeremy Hill, Doug Martin, who I'm starting at flex, David Cobb, looking better and better.
Yep.
Jay Ajayi, Niall Davis, and Andre Williams.
Great core.
My wide receivers aren't quite as great. T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Marshall, Roddy White, Doug Baldwin, DGB, Greg Jennings, and Mike Wallace. Tight end is Travis Kelce, of course.
Shocking.
And defensive lineman, Greg Hardy, Marcel Darius, both suspended. my linebackers, Anthony Barr, Derek Johnson. Anthony Barr, I think, overlooked. Keenan Robinson, going to be a big tackle guy for the Redskins.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Derek Johnson.
But see, this is it. Like, we're finding sleepers, and we're going, that guy's going to be good, and that guy's going to be good. So why spend those early round picks? And I'm guilty of it, too. I took Kuechly.
Right.
At least Kuechly's got the track
Kuechly's
record.
Worth it.
I think Kuechly's worth it.
And then my defensive backs, Harrison Smith, Denora Searcy, Jason McCourty. The very last defensive player I took was Terrell Suggs as my defensive flex.
Could easily get 10 sacks, and that's going to help you out.
Right.
You find your team?
I did.
Okay.
Peyton Manning is my quarterback. My backup is Tony Romo, who I drafted, I think it was round 16 or something. It was absurd how far Tony Romo fell in this draft.
And that's with a league that has 6 points for passing touchdowns.
Yeah. So, I mean, I looked at the board, and how am I going to take some backup running back or third string receiver when I can get Tony Romo? So I just took value there. My running backs are Forte, Justin Forsett. I've got Woodhead in the flexes. This is a PPR league. I think you said that.
Yep.
Alfred Blue's on my team. Zach Stacy, Jeremy Langford, Cameron Artis Payne, Tevin Coleman. Not drafted in that order, of course. Wide receivers, Kelvin Benjamin, AJ Green, Victor Cruz. Again, not
That's
drafted
great.
In that order. And then on the bench at wide receivers, Cole Beasley and Alan Hearns. I didn't really do anything at wide receiver after I got those first three guys. I figured I was set there. My tight end is Julius Thomas. Go ahead and make the puke sound, Jamie.
No, it's fine in this league. No problem with that.
I want to hear the puke sound.
No, when it's really.
See, Heath made the better. Thank you. See, now we've got competition for the puke sound. Ladarius Green was one of my last picks there. Defensive linemen are Cameron Hayward and Ndamukong Suh. Linebackers, you already know I got Kuechly, DeAndre Levy, Brandon Marshall, the Broncos, is my third linebacker, and then McKinney is on my bench. My defensive backs, Clinton Dix. Shamarco Thomas, T.J. Ward. That was a weird laugh.
Sharknado Thomas.
Sharknado Thomas.
Right.
And
Nando Thomas.
I should have mentioned David Harris is my flex at linebacker. And the most important part of all, kicker, Cody Parkey, Philadelphia Eagles.
I went with Roethlisberger and Mariota. My running backs are Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, Latavius Murray, and Jonathan Stewart. I went heavy on running back early. D'Angelo Williams is a handcuff. Fred Jackson is a handcuff. And then I just took a flyer on Lance Dunbar. My receivers are Mike Evans, Charles Johnson, and Martavis Bryant, with John Brown, Devontae Parker, and Marcus Wheaton on the bench. So as you can see, I have the entire Steelers offense cornered, aside from Antonio Brown. And then I have Martellus Bennett at tight end. And then I punted on defensive line. I went with Charles Johnson, so I have both Charles Johnsons cornered, Fletcher Cox and Michael Bennett. So I have the Bennetts cornered as well. So there's a lot of themes to my drafting. Poor Warolo and Kiko Alonso I thought were two great linebacker value where I got them, especially if Alonso bounces back from the torn ACL, and then Stephon Anthony. And then one of my favorite picks, just because I like the guy, because I know him from seeing him in the offseason, and I'm rooting for him as hard as anybody in the NFL, is Eric Berry, Tyrann Mathieu, and then the hitman, Dante Whitner. I don't really have a flex defensive player right now unless Fontez Perfect bounces back. This draft was interesting. Real quick to wrap it up, and then we'll do a couple emails. Heath and I both picked at the beginning of the draft. I was the first overall pick. Heath was the second overall
pick.
Awful. When it got back to us, forget about the defensive guys, and you have to just factor in that Watt was in there. We were staring at Jeremy Hill, LeSean McCoy, T.Y. Hilton, and
Mike Evans.
And Mike Evans.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I don't know what to do here. I'm curious to see what Heath is going to do. And then I was planning all along receiver.
Yeah.
And it kind of just didn't go the way that I was expecting, but I'm happy with it. You passed on – oh, you took Hill.
I passed on Jimmy Graham.
You passed on Graham.
Mm-hmm.
You took Hilton and Hill.
Took T.Y. Hilton and Jeremy Hill.
Did you give any thought to maybe taking two running backs there?
Well, I didn't because I already had a running back.
Right.
And I couldn't see starting with three running backs when I didn't get to pick again for another 20 picks.
And you start three receivers.
And you start three receivers. Right. I was like, that didn't seem like a good plan. So I kind of wish – If you hadn't taken Mike Evans, then I would have gone Hilton and Evans.
Right.
And Jeremy Hill might have fallen even further.
Right. Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, wow, I'm going to either get McCoy or Hill here. This is a surprise, but I'm going to take one.
Yeah.
And then I knew I was going to take some combination of Evans or Hilton. I wasn't going to take Jimmy Graham either. So you can see our IDP wrap-up on the site on fantasynews.cbsports.com. Dave, do we have a couple of minutes for emails or no?
Yeah, I think so. You're asking me?
Yeah, well, you're controlling the machine.
We can do a couple of quickies.
All right, we have three, so let's get to them. From Rick in Philly, a 12-team PPR league, he gets to keep one player. Does he keep Jimmy Graham and lose a fifth-round pick, or Kelvin Benjamin and lose a seventh-round pick? If he keeps Graham, this will be the last year he can keep him. If he keeps Benjamin, he keep him again next year for a sixth-round pick.
For me, it's all about the Benjamin.
Especially
since he can keep him next year.
Yeah, I think if you couldn't keep him next year, it's Jimmy Graham for me.
I think I'd agree with that.
I think its value is better. I think the keeper situation is better. And the ADP is relatively the same. So I'm going to go with Kelvin Benjamin as well. Hello, Harold and Kumar. And I saw this one, and I didn't choose it because of this, but it kind of jumped out at me. It says, name from Mike, and it's a small town in Northeast Ohio of my choosing. So I don't know if Canton is in Northeast Ohio, but I'll choose Canton.
What about Sandusky?
Sure.
That's Northeast, isn't it? Or is that Northwest?
Dave's going to his website?
No, I'm going to Google Maps, actually. I believe Sandusky is in Northeast Ohio. Canton, however.
Southwest?
No, that's in Northeast Ohio, too. Right, it's south of Cleveland.
We'll go with Canton.
And Sandusky is west of Cleveland. So you both win. Congratulations.
Mike's draft, you guys
can go to Ohio.
Mike's draft is coming up, and he picks sixth in a 12-team PPR league, and he's confused on if he should go receiver or running back receiver. What would be your draft strategy in this format? And I will say, Mike, before Dave or Heath answers, we did a pick-by-pick series. You can check out Dave Richards' number six overall draft strategy, and he gives you a plan to lay out there from that draft spot. So, Dave, summarize what you would do if you're picking sixth.
If there's a running back that I'm comfortable with calling a number one running back, I'm taking him there. And if there's not, I've got no problem looking at somebody like Antonio Brown or Rob Gronkowski. If you're not comfortable with those guys, you know, maybe you're just picky, but they're between Brown, Gronk, and the top four running backs, you're guaranteed one of them is going to make it to you at six. And then you just plan accordingly after that. I don't know if I like going receiver there. I might be more inclined to go receiver, running back, or running back, receiver, depending on what I do in the first round.
That's just a little bit too early, I think, for me to go receiver, receiver.
Even PPR.
Look, you can do it.
Right.
I'm not saying
you
can't, but you're leaving a lot of good running backs.
I like receiver, receiver a lot from like nine back, because I know in those first three picks of the fourth round, there's still going to almost always going to be a running back I really like there. But I'm not sure midway through the fourth that those running backs I still like are still going
to
be there.
You have to assume the first four running backs, and by those guys we mean it's Le'Veon Bell, it's Adrian Peterson, it's Jamal Charles, and Eddie Lacy, most likely gone. Then it's, does somebody take Lynch or Anderson in front of you? Because those are next, the next two guys. Maybe
in a PPR, they might, one of them might slip. I don't know if Lynch will make
so
it.
So you have to
Brown's going
to
be gone.
Do I like one of those guys? You think
maybe.
Antonio Brown's gone?
I think Antonio Brown's gone.
I think
most
so
leagues.
As well. So you have to figure out, do you like Anderson or Lynch? And then do you feel comfortable with the number two receiver? Which, for really, your guy is Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
My guy is Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant's your number two guy.
Dez Bryant's my number one.
Dez Bryant's your number one.
Number
so,
one.
So, okay. So you have to feel comfortable with that, and then you factor in Rob Gronkowski. A lot of ways you can go. The one thing I would say, and I'm sure you guys probably agree with this because I know you don't like to have a set strategy, pick the guy you want in the first round and then just see the way round two falls to you because
yes.
You
there will be definitely be somebody there. That's the best part is that there, even at running back, there will be somebody there for you in round two.
Last email before Adam calls me and says you talk too much. Tron in Harlem. I'm going to wait on a quarterback and target Matthew Stafford in the later rounds.
I like it.
Using a quarterback streaming approach, who would you most like to pair up with Stafford based on strength of schedule? The first guy that jumped out to me is Ryan Tannehill. Great start to their schedule. He should be coming out of the gates flying, especially if Parker is healthy. And then Sam Bradford is the other guy. If you can pair Stafford and those two guys, that's the way I would kind of approach it.
I think that that's a good way to do it. And you can almost pick anybody you want as long as they don't have the same bye week as Matthew Stafford to go
Palmer
with.
While he's healthy.
Palmer, and he might stay healthy all year, I actually
sure.
hope he does. Here are some quarterbacks that you can look at who not only are good, you know, complements to Stafford, but they also have good matchups during his bye week. Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater, Jay Cutler, Marcus Mariota. I already can tell you that I like their matchups as it stands now. Things can change, and it's week nine when we're looking at this, which is all the more reason why you could almost draft Stafford and not – commit to another quarterback if you don't want to because you can find somebody and you've got 2 months to do it.
What about what you did in our two quarterback league but in a standard league where you go Stafford Brady?
I like Stafford Brady. I think
sure.
it works out well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just did Manning Romo. You don't know who's going to fall to you in the draft when
well,
it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah. Non-expert leagues, you're not going to tell me.
Probably not. But
the sixth or seventh round.
Listen, Brady's going to fall in a bunch of drafts.
Depending on when you draft, absolutely. So, gentlemen, this was fun. I hope Adam doesn't get upset.
A lot of information shocked into this podcast.
Yeah, I feel
like
we got
it.
More information because Adam wasn't here.
Probably. Probably. So when we come back on Tuesday, when Adam is back from his lovely vacation, we're going to get back to our wide receiver preview.
Right.
And
we've got a lot to cover.
Steamroll right along with our tight end preview to close out the preview section. And we're going to have a draft tonight where Dave may or may not show up and Heath may or may not dominate the draft.
Will I take Travis Kelce?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Round three. And DeMarco,
Sportsbook
14
is laying 3-2 odds that you will.
DeMarco Murray,
you
Travis
go,
Kelce.
You go Murray, Graham, Kelce.
Murray, Graham, Kelce. Set.
And then your receivers will be Brandon Marshall and Roddy White.
Yeah. I might have to think that through.
All right. We'll have that breakdown. Any final last thoughts?
I've got nothing.
You?
Nope.
For Dave Richard and Heath Cummings, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for coming out.
Bye.